Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danka, Bharati Jagdish, and Ryan Huang with you. It's time now for Why It Matters. And this morning, we're highlighting how the war for talent doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon.
Indeed, certain sectors, we know technology in particular, are experiencing a talent shortage. So with a limited number of people equipped with the skills to power such businesses, naturally, there will be a war for talent. Mm. But frankly, this isn't new. I mean, ever since the dawn of modern business, organizations have been seeking to fight to attract and retain the best possible people they can. The phrase, the war for talent, Elliot, was actually coined in 1997. Oh. At that time, in reference to the changing landscape around attracting and retaining talent. It's certainly getting more challenging. And you know what? Better pay packages won't cut it anymore. It's got to be more than that.
Yeah, it's more complex these days, and it seems like employers will need a new battle plan in that sense. Instead of desperately trying to recruit from the outside to fill the growing skills gap, should companies then turn to the resources that already exist within their workforce? And take, for example, the company that we're highlighting this morning, Workday. They recently announced one of their strongest quarters in the company's history, and they are we want to find out how they are approaching the war for talent in today's workforce. On the line with us this morning is Sandeep Sharma, the president of Asia at Workday. Sandeep, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot and Bharti. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, Sandeep. Yes, glad to have you on this morning. Now, Workday, of course, is a leading provider of enterprise cloud applications for finance and HR. You're essentially a tech company, and you're probably experiencing the impact of the talent crunch in this sector, yet you've experienced one of your strongest quarters. Tell us first what strategies you're using to get the right talent to power this growth, meet your clients' needs, a lot of them undergoing digital transformation.
We've really had a great quarter. Thanks for highlighting that. And I really believe that while the pandemic is going on, many businesses have actually taken this opportunity to recalibrate how they prepare for the future. I think all of us understand that there's a generational shift upon us. As we talk to our customers, they highlight this generational shift. And really, the aftershocks of this generational shift are continuing. So how do you retain talent? How do you attract talent is really foremost with our customers and indeed with Workday as well. And that's really what's powered our growth in the last quarter.
What are some of the strategies that you're using, Sandeep?
I think the first strategy is to make sure that you retain talent. And to retain talent, they need to understand that the company is invested in them. And you can imagine that all of us are consumers ourselves. We grow up in the consumer internet. When you go look at Netflix, for example, think back to the first time when you used Netflix. You go to Netflix, you don't use a user guide to figure out how to use Netflix. Our consumers are employees. They want the same experience when they are working in a company. If they have enterprise software solutions which are not as simple to use, which require them to use a user guide, they're not going to stay back. So they see companies using technology which is outdated, which requires them to use user guides, and they know they're in the wrong company. They know that the technology is not suited for their expectations. And so for us, the first thing to do is to make sure that we can retain employees by giving them the technology that allows them a consumer internet experience. Mm. That's the first thing that's very, very important.
Right. So it is the other side of digital transformation, a word we keep hearing very often. Sandeep, then let's talk a little bit more about how else we can leverage, you know, make the most out of your digital transformation. What are some of the common mistakes that local businesses make when it comes to digital transformation?
The most common mistake, Elliot, is the fact that they look at digital transformation at essentially just moving on-prem, whatever they have on-prem, onto the cloud.
Okay.
And that is not really transformation. It's just taking what we have today and trying to do the same thing in the cloud, calling that digital transformation, and essentially doing the same thing in a different way.
There is a difference, yes, between digital transformation and digitalization. And I think that difference is something that really needs to be under the microscope here.
You got it. You got it. And you can imagine, you know, think back, and we're in the morning hour, people are commuting at work. You can think back, if you do digitalization instead of digital transformation, you're not going to get to faster cycle times. You have to operate at a higher metabolic rate. today's world requires you to reduce cycle times. If you have not fundamentally reduced your cycle times, you're not going to succeed. Think back to when the first car was invented, right? I mean, the Ford Model T. You can imagine participating in a Formula One race today and driving a Ford Model T. There's no way you're going to be able to win that race. So there's a war out there. You really need to think about how to operate at a higher metabolic rate.
Mm. It's also about working smart, especially where data is concerned.
It's absolutely working smart, and it's working with data using prescriptive analytics. The world's moved beyond just analytics. You need to be able to look around the corner. Uncertainty is the norm. There is no way you can anticipate what's happening. Borders are closing, workforce is hybrid. The amount of change around us is phenomenal, and it's going to continue. We are in the new normal. And so how do you use data to your advantage, not just by saying, oh, you know, let me put a new data lake, let me extract data, put it in that data lake, and then try to figure out what insights I get from it. No, data has to be at your fingertips. Prescriptive analytics has to be in each and everything that you're looking into.
Including talent retention, of course, and talent attraction. You were right to say earlier, Sandeep, that before you even look at acquisition and attraction, retention is the key. Look at your existing pool of staff, look at your existing workforce, and see how you can elevate them to a level that they would want to stay with the company and continue contributing to its growth as well. So what aspects should companies be investing more in? Of course, learning and development is one of those things, right?
Absolutely. You have to move beyond just a headcount. And by the way, many companies don't even know what headcount is available there. You have to move beyond headcount. You have to actually think about skills. You have to think about skills that your employees have today. You have to think about where you're headed in the future and how do you put the journey of getting from today to tomorrow in the hands of the employees themselves. You have to empower them. So think about it, right? Historically, the managers are responsible for developing their employees. But now, in today's world, with the millennial, you have to put that empowerment in the hands of the employees themselves. And that's where prescriptive analytics comes in. It says, okay, here's where I am in the organization. Here is where I want to go. Here is how many people have taken this path before me. Here are the skills I need to get there. And here is the learning that I need to take to get there. So it's not just about the learning. It's about the analytics powering your journey through the organization.
It's got to be all data-driven. That's when you get proper results, and how you sift through those results matters as well. The fact is that I've noticed a lot of companies are just looking for plug-and-play talent. They're looking for people who are just ready with all the hard skills necessary, forgetting that those hard skills, too, will one day need to be updated. When it comes to actually looking for candidates in a talent-scarce market, to what extent should employers, should hiring managers be a little more open about hiring people who at this point may not have the hard skills required, really, and just be willing to invest in augmenting these individuals' hard skills once they get into the company?
I think they should, right? A learning mindset is so critical to employees being able to prepare for the future, not just what's available today. The uncertainty, if you have to navigate around the corners, you're looking for skills for today, what happens if the market changes on you? So they have to have an open mindset. I mean, basically, there are some qualifications you have to have. But if you're looking for exact A, B, and C skills for today, how are you going to deal with a lack of a learning mindset?
Mm. Sandeep, you took on the role of Workday's new president for Asia, and this happened amidst the pandemic. Tell us a little bit about how COVID-19 has impacted your leadership style and some of the business strategies and priorities you're putting across your region.
Oh, it's huge, right? So when I joined the company, my entire onboarding was virtual. Basically, not even met the entire team across the region, just some of the folks here in Singapore, right? So the hybrid style of working, I mean, historically, it had been there, right? All of us have been used to a hybrid style of working. It's just accelerated in today's environment. I think from a leadership perspective, leading with empathy, leading with authenticity is so critical in today's world. A lot of our employees face burnout. They are working from morning till evening, stuck on Zoom calls. And so within Workday and within the leadership team, I think there's a very, very strong focus on employees. It's our number one. It's our number one value within Workday. And so we have done things like last year we gave 2 weeks of paid leave to everyone. You know, two weeks of pay. And this year we have made 5 Fridays off for the entire workforce. Mm. right? I mean, so they could take these five Fridays, the whole company goes off, right? And so from a leadership perspective, acknowledging that you are invested in the employees, that you're living the value, that it's not just a statement saying employees are number one. A lot of our customers, they think of customer experience as number one. But guess who's delivering the customer experience? Mm. It's not the buildings, it's the employees.
Mm. Yeah. Companies also have to come to terms with the fact that you need to see your employees as your customers as well, right? Because if you didn't have them, how are you going to service your external customers?
You got it. You got it. You're absolutely spot on. And you have to do that more than lip service, because every company out there, I've not known of a single company that doesn't talk about employees being number one. But are you really invested in the employees? Are you looking at employees as a revenue center rather than a cost center? If you're looking at them as a revenue center, you will not actually look at technology, which is subpar. You'll not give them the Model T when there are cars like Tesla available today.
Here's the thing, Sandeep. I mean, as a person in a leadership position, you obviously have to deal with all sorts of employees, right? And multi-generational employees. To what extent do you have bespoke strategies for each generation of workers? Obviously, Gen Y will be different from a younger generation and the generation above them, for instance. So tell us more about customization of talent retention strategies and talent attraction and acquisition strategies as well.
Such an incisive and interesting question, Bharti. You can think about this, right?
Thanks.
You cannot treat everyone the same way. So first off, you have to understand that these differences exist. And that's back to the point that Elliot made, that you have to have that data. So how do you have that data available to managers to know how their workforce is structured today? What is the inclusion and diversity index for the group, for the team, for the small team, for the entire organization, for the site? And based on that data, you can then ascertain what things are driving individuals or certain segments of the workforce. So, for example, the millennials look at things very differently. They want a completely remote working environment, for example. They don't want to come to the office. They don't want to be told when to come to the office. They want completely flexible times. But an older generation worker might want to have a very rigid 9-to-5, or a mid-age worker might want to take care of kids at home, so they want to go back home at 5 o'clock. So you have to make sure that you're tailoring your strategy to the individual and not having one strategy for everyone.
I suppose, just to quickly wrap up, Sandeep, I do wonder, what kind of a role do you hope Workday can play as we move into this post-COVID type of work setting?
Well, I think Workday plays a phenomenal role in ensuring that our customers can accelerate in this new world, that they can operate at faster cycle times across the two most important assets that any company has today, their people and the finance. These resources are very limited. The rate of change is accelerating tremendously. And to overcome the acceleration gap, the gap between what is required by the market and the resources available, requires companies to operate at a much, much faster cycle time. And I believe that Workday can enable organizations, and we have some of them today. If you have some of your listeners who are riding Grab or riding Gojek, these companies are powered by Workday. We have so many examples around the world, and we are delighted that these organizations are already enjoying benefits. I think there's a lot to do, and companies which see this vision are the ones which are going to flourish. They're going to keep ahead of the competition, indeed survive.
We've been speaking to Sandeep Sharma, who is president of Asia at Workday. Appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.